in thanking the ladies choir for their ministry to us this evening, one cannot help but think upon how wonderful it is that we should be able to hear this presentation and enter into it in the sanctuary of the Church of Jesus Christ. So often one must go to the concert auditorium, but of course it was in the fellowship of the community of faith that this music and this testimony was born. And so on behalf of each one, I would extend to Mr. Dirksen, to those who have assisted with the instruments, as well as the ladies, our very sincere thanks for this experience of worship and faith. We also think of a verse that is written in the book of Revelation, where it says, "Hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And how true it is that the Church of Jesus Christ speaks to us from not only every area geographically today, which we have been learning recently here in our missionary conference, but also down through the ages. And each different age has a vital contribution to make. And we often neglect this. But certainly the music, the line of the melody which we have been sharing, speaks to us, and we have presented in it something of the faith of Christian men and women close to 300 years ago. And then the message that is there, that it is brought to us, speaks powerfully of the wonder of the coming of Jesus Christ. And truly, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this is an experience for each of us in raising us to give praise to the Lord for our Savior and for His salvation. And it also can teach us something of our need to allow ourselves to be stretched and to listen to what the Spirit has spoken through Christian men and women down through the years in the fellowship of His church. We want to think briefly upon the message which has been brought to us. There are so many different areas of Scripture to which one might turn. The passage which Mr. Lowe read to us is a very helpful one in placing it side by side with the text of the cantata. In many ways, it speaks to us of how we today can welcome the King of Glory. I wonder how it was that those men and women in the 17th and 18th century would prepare their own hearts to welcome the King of Glory. And then as God looks into our own hearts and lives today, I wonder what He sees there as we prepare on this Advent Sunday, the first Sunday in the season when we specially prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. I wonder what He sees there as we prepare to welcome the King of Glory. How do you welcome the King of Glory? Of course, in the first place, we don't have the physical opportunity, as did the shepherds or the wise men, of welcoming the newborn King. And yet we can welcome the Lord Jesus Christ in personal history and experience today. First of all, of course, as we receive Him in a personal way, to those who received Him, to them did God give authority to be called His own children. And this text certainly speaks of this experience, the coming to faith, the being brought into the family and the people of God by the work of God's Spirit. Think of this initial entering into God's kingdom as we look in stanza 3, the second half. "Come, enter thou my heart today. Come quickly from thy bed of hay. Come to me, my Savior, and live in me forever." I certainly do pray that this is the experience of each one who is represented in the fellowship this evening, that you have invited the living Lord, that you have assurance of His presence, the one who sticks closer than a brother. But then I believe this text of music and also the Scriptures have much to say about how the believer can welcome Jesus, how Jesus can come again into the life of the child of God. Now we have to, of course, distinguish here, because in a basic sense, when Christ comes, He comes to stay. And Peter writes to the early church and he says, "You have been born anew to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." And so we thank God tonight for the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and for His keeping power, that when He comes, He comes to stay. And yet there are many areas of Scripture which speak about the way in which God, by His Spirit and by His dealings with His children, can do a new thing in the life and so deepen the walk with Him that in a very real measure, Christ is coming again. And there are new dimensions and there are new areas of spiritual experience, new victories over Satan that are so significant in the life of the Christian that in a real sense we can speak of Christ's coming again, coming in freshness and coming in fullness. And this is a way in which we can think of the Lord Jesus, the King of glory, and we can each one think of how may I this evening welcome Christ. And Christ has already in our worship this evening been offering Himself as we have shared and as we have meditated upon the ministry of music in which we've participated. And I wonder what our response will be. What will your response be? What will my response be in welcoming the King of Glory tonight? In the passage in Ephesians, we have some very telling phrases which speak about how we may welcome Christ again into our lives as believers. In chapter 3, verse 16, the prayer of the apostle is that you might be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. It speaks there of a strengthening, a making strong or being capable for new levels of spiritual experience. And the phrase is very forcefully brought to attention. He says that you may be strengthened with might. And the Greek word there, with dunamis, with that dynamite of God, which is present by the indwelling Spirit. And of course, there are many ways in which we might strengthen ourselves. There's always the possibility for self-discipline, for study, for inward examination. There are many things in our own lives, in my own life, which I know are lax and where I might seek to strengthen myself. But that is not the strengthening that Paul the Apostle writes of here. He prays that you may be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And this is the supernatural act of God in the life of His people, and how God longs to move in, and yet how so often we limit what He can do through us by our narrow or our petty vision of His purpose by His Spirit in our lives. And as we think of allowing ourselves to be strengthened by the Spirit of God, we can enter into much of what is spoken of in the text of the Cantata, for example. Look at the end of stanza 4. What shall I share with thee, my treasure? Ah, let me give my body and soul. In all things, ever make thy way my goal. I will be thine forever. And there is an affirmation of faith that is only possible to the one who is constantly being strengthened by the Spirit of God in the inner man. I wonder, as you think of your own standing before God and your need to welcome Christ in a new way, I wonder how it stands with you this evening. Is there some area, perhaps, that you're feeling pretty discouraged? Perhaps almost so discouraged that you've virtually given up even praying about this area or pattern of your own personal experience? Perhaps you feel that, well, I'll just live with this. Are you content to live with spiritual mediocrity? Am I? This morning, many of us heard our pastor speaking about the prayer life and the walk of prayer. How do you stand in your own life of prayer before God this evening? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be strengthened for spiritual victory in the life of prayer this week by the Holy Spirit? You know, I look at my watch tonight and I find it's just shortly after 20 minutes to 8. I wonder what it might be like if we could all say what we might be doing shortly after 20 minutes to 8 tomorrow morning. Or is that a fair question to ask from the pulpit? For some, at least, this might be a time where there might be that personal, devotional, quiet time, that communion with God, And as I have been sharing with others and looking into my own life, I've been seeing things which I know are not pleasing to the Lord. And I can't honestly say that this is being strengthened. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful to remember this before God this evening? This or any other area in your own daily walk. And pray that you might be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God in your inner man. And you know, as you make that prayer in faith believing, God will answer that prayer. We'll be surprised, but He does answer that prayer in a way that we can't even imagine. And also, as you are strengthened with might by the Spirit, that is one very definite manner in which, in a new measure, you are welcoming the King of Glory. But let's continue on in this passage. The prayer not only is that you might be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, but the apostle goes on to say that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. And this speaks to us of another manner in which this evening each one of us are permitted to welcome the King of Glory, as Christ dwells in the heart by faith. This, of course, is not really a different area of Christian experience of which the apostle is writing. When he writes of the work of Christ and the work of the Spirit of God, his thought is really just brings these two notions to mind. Language is flexible, but the reality remains the same. And so reading in one part of the scriptures, we can read and say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then I can turn over just a page or two and I can read where it says, I live, but not I, Christ lives in me. And of course, Christ dwells in his children by the power and in the person of his Spirit. So it's not a new area of experience as such that's been spoken of here, but the prayer in this particular case turns on what is written, that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. It's a very strong word. He has prayed that you would be strengthened by the Spirit of God. And now he goes on to pray that this won't just be something that happens now and again, but rather would increasingly be a constant experience day by day for the believer. And his prayer is that Christ might truly dwell. He might come to the very roots, the very spring of the personality. The Greek word here is different. There are two Greek words that speak about dwelling. There's one that speaks about coming in a temporary manner, to come and to dwell and then to pass on. But that's not the word that's used here. The word here speaks of a permanent dwelling. And what he's praying here is that the experience of the Spirit of God that the believers have might be continually the norm of their experience, that they might grow, that they might be rooted, and that they might be grounded in the love of Christ, that they might be established in their faith. And so his prayer for each of us today, I'm sure, would be that our worship would not simply be a matter of a weekly experience, a weekly worship, but rather a daily walk. And maybe this is another area in which God can deal with each one of us. An area in which we might grow in such a new and dynamic manner that it, as it were, could be welcoming Christ anew into our lives. When we think of sharing not just some special experiences with the Lord Jesus, but each and every experience with the Savior. And when we increasingly wake up to the realization that there is nowhere where we are, that Christ isn't actually present, ready to minister to us and ready to minister through us. And so we take the Savior with us wherever we are, and we give thanks to his presence, for his presence, moment by moment. We walk in the Spirit. We walk with the Savior hour by hour. And again, this is a reality of spiritual experience that is known to the saints of God down through the years. We don't expect it to be a constant mountaintop experience. There will be valleys as well as peaks, of course. But yet Christ remains faithful, and he is present with his people. And as we realize this truth, we are established in our confidence in him. And so we can turn any situation into a prayer, and we can praise the Lord at all times. And again, we read of this in this lovely text which we have this evening. In the first stanza, at the end of the second half of the first stanza, in every hour of every day, My heart will sing thy praise alway. To save us from damnation, thou wast made man for our salvation. Isn't it wonderful to remind ourselves of the greatness of the love of Christ every hour of every day? This is written in our text. I think of it also in what I call as the musician's text in Scripture. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And it is so wonderful to be able to sing to the Lord hour by hour of each and every day. And perhaps this is an area in which God is speaking to you this evening. Perhaps you have been too compartmentalized in your walk with the Lord. Perhaps it's been too restricted. Now, of course, you cannot manufacture the miracle of communion with God. But you can, in fact, you and I are commanded to so order the circumstances of our lives that God is able to commune with us by his word and by his spirit. And you and I have that opportunity, very specially in this season of the year, of just taking the many opportunities we have and turning them into songs of prayer and of praise. And as we allow God to deal with us in this manner, I certainly believe that this is one more example of how the believer, the child of God, can welcome the King of Glory again into his life. And then just passing briefly in this wonderful passage of Scripture, this Advent prayer, you might say, of the Apostle Paul, we come down in the 19th verse of chapter 3, and his prayer is not only that they might be strengthened by the Spirit, not only that Christ might dwell in the heart by faith, but he goes on to pray that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is a tremendous subject. I trembled as I saw how it fitted into our subject this evening. But let me just lift out one aspect of this: being filled with all the fullness of God. Of course, no one individual could ever exhaust the fullness of God's character. But what the prayer of the apostle is, that to whatever extent God has purposed to give himself to his child, that each believer attain to that extent, that he attain to that full measure of the stature of Christ, that he not just stay in the shallows, but that he be filled to the extent to which God has planned to give himself to that believer. And this was Paul's constant theme. And he was very, very particular that he might attain to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, and that each one to whom he ministered might attain to the fullest extent of the life of God that God had planned to reveal to him. And obviously, he was burdened by the vision of born-again men and women who somehow were not attaining to the fullness which God had planned for them. And I see this in different ways in the text of Scripture that we've been sharing and the text of the cantata. Perhaps in the very first lines of Welcome the King of Glory, we have, "Oh, welcome, welcome, bridegroom dear, thou King of highest glory." There it is. He is the King of highest glory. Let us not, by our small thoughts and expectations, limit the full glory of Jesus Christ today. You know, there are many Christians around the world who believe we are living in the 11th hour, the very last times and days before Jesus Christ will come again. Now, whether that should prove to be the case or not, I cannot say. But one thing is certain, we certainly have just or almost just passed through the 11th month of 1975. I think there are about 4 hours left this month. One more month left in 1975. And you know, one day the books are going to be open each of our lives, we read in Scripture, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account for the deeds done in the body. And so we see 1975 turning over. Now, on that page, what will the record be of how you attained to the fullness of God dwelling in you, that God had purposed, and that God, by His means, by His ministries, by His word and spirit, by the fellowship of His church, by so many different manners, God had for you? How have you measured up to that expectation? I raise that point because, of course, we're coming to that season which is so frightfully busy. And we will, I'm sure, hear many saying, well, let us put Christ back into Christmas. Well, you know, that is true. But I'm sure that each of us will continue to be very occupied with many personal responsibilities, many family responsibilities. I know there are many students who are occupied very much with responsibilities in their studies. And so we aren't going to just leave these to one side. But the challenge from the message this evening is that in them and along with them, we take time and we make time to allow God to deal with us and to show Him to us, to show Himself to us, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, that we might grow in His love, that we might have an understanding and new measure of His mercy, of His grace, of His holiness, of so many different aspects of His character, that we might be growing in this area, and that we might know in real measure that of which the apostle writes when he prays that you today, and myself as well, might be filled with the very fullness of God. And so we have in this passage, and we see in the ministry which has come to us down through the Church of Christ, an invitation to welcome again the King of Glory. And we can welcome Him. We can welcome Him to know a new measure of strength in that spiritual battle. We can claim His victory over constant besetting sin and temptation and defeat. And then we can know Him in new measure as Christ comes to be central in our schedule day by day. And then we can welcome Him again as we think of the fullness of God and we live our lives in the joy of that fullness. And this is a very remarkable prayer. And yet it may be realized. One of the great writers on the book of Ephesians describes this. He says, "No prayer that has ever been formed has uttered a bolder request." How bold is your prayer? How bold is my prayer this evening? Perhaps there's someone who's thinking tonight, well, it's just too much for me in all reality. I honestly can't say where I stand in terms of Jesus Christ this evening. If that is your case, then maybe today would be the time when in a very personal, definite manner, you might take this prayer that is here, that it was beautifully brought to us, that you might invite the Lord to come into your life by faith. For the first time, you might take these words, "Come, enter thou my heart today. Come quickly from thy bed of hay. Come to me, my Savior, and live in me forever." Or perhaps there is one or another area of your experience of the new life in Christ, and God has been dealing with you this evening and perhaps in the moments and days leading up to this evening. And perhaps it seems that this is an area which is really too much for you. You haven't even expected God to do His miracle in your life. More or less, you're content to let spiritual matters lie and rest. Won't you, by God's Spirit, have that boldness that comes from confidence in the Father and assurance of salvation in the Son, and that witness of the Spirit in your life, to make that a matter of prayer before leaving this evening, and to continue in expectation of what God is going to do, and certainly will be doing, even before one or two days are over. Isn't it wonderful that our Savior is so patient, and that He offers Himself He offers himself again this evening, and to us is given the opportunity to respond, "Welcome, thou King of Glory." Shall we all pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we stop and we are quiet before you this evening. We think again of the wonder of the events of salvation history, the miracle of the eternal God coming and being made flesh and dwelling amongst us. Father, we would confess how often we take these great facts for granted. And then, our Father, we also want to give thanks for the ministry of your church down through the years. We thank you that we are numbered among the elect people of God from every tribe and nation and race, and from every generation and every century, and that one day we, in company with all your children, will see the Lord Jesus face to face. And then, our Father, we thank you that you patiently bear with your children, and that you promise to do far more abundantly for us than we can even ask or think. So, Father, I would pray this evening that you would answer the unspoken prayer of each heart, that you would deal according to your purpose and plan, and that we might know the full joy and measure of your salvation, as in a renewed manner we enter upon this Advent season. Continue to deal with us, Father. We shall give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, Amen.